Y'all know what Google means? I know, James, you better. He's a computer programmer, but a Google is a one followed by 100 zeros. The company Google, the CEOs and the founders of Google, their mission was that they wanted to provide innumerable information to all users. And so what fitting name? Google. You know that all of this information, a one with a 100 zeros, that's a lot. And that was the purpose of the name Google. Amazon, the founder of Amazon, he wanted his company to start with an A. You know why? A rises to the top of the list, doesn't it? So when you do a search, A's alphabetically, you get A first. And also because Amazon is the largest river in the world, the biggest river, and that's what he wanted his company to be. And we all know what Amazon is. Fanta. Y'all know what Fanta Pop is, soda? I don't drink Fanta when I'm in the States. I will say when I'm, there's been nothing like a Fanta when you're on the mission field. And a Fanta, they were looking, the German, it's a part of Coca-Cola company, and in Germany, they were going to come up with this soda, and so he told his employees, he said, use your fantasy or your imagination to come up with a name for this soda. Fantasy, fantasy. So they called it, didn't take them very long, they said, we'll call it Fanta. I will never see a Fanta the same again. Because it was your, use your imagination. And so that name, it meant something. But those companies that we recognize, Amazon, Google, Fanta maybe to a lesser extent, but a lot of those companies, it's not the name that made them who they are. It was the business that gave credence to the name. And I know that when we think of a brand, we think, depending on what we're talking about, of cars, for example, there are some models or makes of cars that we think speed. There are some we think luxury. And there are some that we think practical. But there are just different makes and models. There are certain designating words or adjectives that come to our mind that represent that. Well, it's also true, and goes along with Sunday school, what you hear about something shapes your impression of a brand, doesn't it? I remember, and you all may have very different impressions of this, I don't know a lot about Jaguars, cars. But I just remember, and it might have been, it was an off-the-cuff passing comment, we were in Alabama, and I was with Brother Mike Adams, and I just remember there was a beautiful-looking Jaguar in the shop, and I remember his comment about Jaguars, and it changed my impression of Jaguars. Now, they may be good cars until they're not, but and I don't know a lot about them, so I don't want to take away from what they really are. But what I heard with my little knowledge about Jaguars, what I heard about someone that knows cars, it has changed my impressions of the brand. Well, so a lot of our opinions on things are based upon what we have heard. And we shape opinions on that. You might go to the store and say, oh, I don't want to buy that because I knew someone that bought that and it broke. Well, it might actually be a good brand or it might not, but we form opinions based on our experiences, don't we? The experiences that we have in life shape our opinions of things. So I'd like to read in Acts chapter 11, in verse 26. It said, when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now they were called Christians. They were branded, okay? They had a brand. Well, is it a Chevy, Ford? You know, it's interesting to see the differences, people's opinions on some brands and products. And I'm not just sticking on cars this morning. We're going to get back to cars as well. But there's, it shape our opinions and people have ideas. But the Christianity, that brings, that elicits some thoughts. They were first called Christians in Antioch, and it was because these are people that are following Christ. And so when people then heard about a Christian, it brought certain things to their mind about that brand of people. Do you know that our names do the same thing? When people think of the bird, will you allow me? When you think of the birds, there's going to be things that come to your mind. When you think of the atoms, when you think of the sorrel, what comes to your mind? When you think of the friend trips or the, I'm going to miss someone here. The cooks, Salise. Can't forget, Smith too. You know, there are things that come to your mind, good or bad. We have opinions about people because, yeah, I knew your grandpa. Well, what does that have to do with me? Well, I'm still a Smith, and my grandpa was one, and if you didn't like my grandpa, guess what? You may have to work to even like me to start with. Whether I did anything or not, it's because of reputation and because of our name. It's a brand. And so sometimes we have to work to overcome our brand, don't we? Sometimes we have to work. But it is interesting to note that many times people insist, I am not like my dad or I am not like my mother. And everybody's thinking, you are exactly like your mother or exactly like your father. Because we came from the same blood, right? We're carrying the same genes, but the reality is a name does mean something in a sense. It elicits memories, it elicits experiences, it elicits what we have heard. And so they were called Christians. Unfortunately, Christians have done what many companies have done, that one time had name recognition, they were seen as a quality product, and unfortunately in our world today, when people say, I am a Christian, it really almost doesn't mean a lot anymore. Have you found that? I'm a Christian, well what does that mean? Because at the time when they were called Christians, it meant we are following the doctrines of Jesus Christ. It means that we are leaving the world behind us in pursuit of being more like Jesus. That's what it meant to be a Christian. But today when someone says they're a Christian, do you see in their life that, oh, I see in their behavior, they're trying to be more like Christ. Oh, you're a Christian, so you have forsaken the things of this world to follow Jesus. But now we see people holding on to the world with a name. But I want us to know this morning that being a Christian is more than a name. It should be. For us to say that we are Christians, folks, it should mean something for us. When we say we are in the church of God, that should be more than just a name. Church of God is not something that came up in a minister's meeting. It's something that came from the Word, that we were named after the Father which is in heaven. And so the writing is to the church of God at Corinth, to the church of God at Antioch, to the church of God in Springfield, people who are Christians, people that are following Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, Christianity just has a name. I remember a math professor, and I know I've shared this, but highly intelligent, highly educated man at Oklahoma State, and I sat across the table from him one day and we were talking, and he told me, he said, you know what, Christians, he said, they're like everybody else. And I kind of listened. He said, they go to church on Sunday, and he said, Monday they act like everybody else does. That was his experience. What a sad commentary on the brand Christianity. But when we say we're a Christian, folks, it should be more than just a name. The many Muslims see America as Christians. They say America is a Christian nation. That is what they've heard, okay? So their idea, and I'm speaking of many Muslims in other countries, when they think of America, they think this is a Christian nation, and they see the immodesty and the immorality that's spewing forth out of America. And so in their minds, that's Christian. I don't want anything to do with Christianity. Can you blame them? I've had conversations on the plane. I was the only Christian there, as far as I knew. talking to Muslims, and I was having to be a little careful, but I began to witness to them. They had never heard what it meant to be a Christian. These were educated Muslim men on the plane, and they were like, well, what they saw in Pakistan, for example, was it was at nighttime where the Christians lived, it became a red light district. Among the Christians, you can't buy alcohol from a Muslim, but it's unlawful, but if you need alcohol, you buy it from a Christian. That's what they saw as Christianity, the immorality. What are they supposed to expect then when we go, I'm a Christian missionary? It's like, yeah, we know about Christians. America, the red light district, the alcohol, the immodesty. Why should they want what we have? Because Christianity has lost its name in many quarters of the world. I want to encourage us this morning to make a difference in how people know what it means to be a Christian. We're followers of Christ. Coca-Cola. You recognize the name? Does anybody here not know Coca-Cola? It is amazing. I remember, and I know things are changing very quickly in Africa, but in Malawi, poorest country in the world, depending on the year, but it's at the top five. I went, no running water, no electricity. I'll tell you what, but you could get a Coca-Cola. It was amazing to me. Anywhere in the world, almost. Thirsty? Get a Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is, and this is written by a branding consultant, okay? And I'm going to read you some things that came from marketing consultants about some companies this morning. Said Coca-Cola has a deep and healthy respect for their past and the people who have gone before them. They never forget why they started and where they came from, which means a lot to consumers. Coca-Cola is one of the biggest well-known brands in the world. Why? I thought it was noteworthy. It said they didn't forget where they started and where they came from. Folks, if we are Christians this morning, if you say you're a Christian, I want you to know something. When you say, I am a Christian, that's saying a lot. But we can't forget where we came from. Folks, this is not about entertainment. It's not about just being a club. We are followers of Jesus Christ. And when we testify, when I tell my wife I'm a Christian, I want her to see the fruit of it. Have you ever heard someone say they're a Christian and someone said, well, act like it? You ever heard that term? It's like, I'm a Christian. Well, act like it then. What has been the experiences of people to cause them to question the brand? I would in this aspect that we be like Coca-Cola. Let's not forget where we came from and where we started. We did not start 100 years ago. We did not start in the 1880s. We started back with Jesus Christ. And that is why we are here this morning, is we want to follow the teachings of Christ. I'm not interested in a book the ministers voted on. I can find that down the road. I'm interested in following and being like Jesus. But if we forget where we came from, we're going to lose our true identity. I hope we get trust we understand this morning. So let's remember where we came from. Let's remember that we were saved from our sins. Remember our purpose. See, they said that's what Coca-Cola did. They remember where they started. You know, Coca-Cola's tried different things through the years. It's called innovation. And what they had to keep oftentimes doing is going back to the original. We tried something else and it kind of hit the markets and then it fizzled out. Let's go back to the original. Well, what is our purpose as Christians? Is there anybody here that, you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm just asking the question. Anybody here a Christian? There's two of us. All right, no, I told you not to raise your hand. What is your purpose then? If we are Christians, do you know that means we should have a purpose in our life? And our purpose should be as defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to what? The glory of God. Young people, what about the standards? I'm not telling you to throw the standards out, but do it for just a moment. Throw out all the standards, throw out all the teaching you've ever heard from your parents, throw out all the examples, and this is what it means to be a saint. Put it on the back burner for a moment. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means that everything I do should be done to the glory of God. So whether with the places I go, is it to the glory of God? If it's not to the glory of God, you are affecting the brand or the name. This is what it means to be a Christian, young people. It means everything you do. Do you need the preacher to come in and listen to what's on your earbuds? And look at the music on your phone? And to see what you've been looking at and what YouTube videos you've been watching and where you've been going? Is that the preacher's job? If you are a Christian, your purpose is, Lord, I want to glorify you. I'm thankful for godly standards and a heritage. Don't misunderstand me this morning. But at the end of the day, it's not about that. At the end of the day, I am a Christian, which means everything I do, I want to glorify God. And like my grandpa told his boys, he said, sons, he said, if you see me do it, it's okay for you to do it. But if you don't see me do it, then you be real careful. Can we say that still this morning, or do we have to start to qualify? Well, it's probably not best to go there or to listen to that, or probably not best, but I think I can handle it. Wait, that's not what this is about. We're Christians. Whatever we do, do it to the glory of God. Well, is it okay to drink that? Is it to the glory of God? Okay, I'm going to go here. Is it to the flesh or to the glory of God? This is simplicity, what it means to be a Christian. Living a holy life. There are many companies and products that have what we know as brand quality, right? Some of the few recognized ones are, again, Coca-Cola. Starbucks is listed in that list, and I don't drink coffee. But Porsche is another one. You know, Porsche, what they said in marketing consultants on these companies, they said all of these companies define or enforce quality control to ensure the best possible service or product is delivered. Quality control. Do you know, as Christians, if we want to be quality Christians, we're going to have some quality control. It doesn't mean we're always perfect, but it means when we fall short, we will address the problem. Does that make sense? To be a Christian. This is the reason why, and we won't take the time to read it, but in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 through 30, remember it talks about partaking of the Lord's Supper? And it said, he that eateth or drinketh unworthily is guilty of the body of Christ. He was talking about people that called themselves Christians. They had a name. But in essence here, he was saying, wait, to the congregation at Corinth, it's more than a name. He said, let every man examine himself. Let every man examine himself. Why? Because it said, because people were eating unworthily, it said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you. There's a lot that can be said about that. I believe it's more than physical illness, though. Spiritually sick. Why? Because I have a name that I'm a Christian. I'm not living like it. I'm not placing importance on my walk with God, but I've got a name. I'm a Christian. I'm a saint. I go to Church of God. What does that mean? What does it mean personally? I don't want to eat or drink unworthily because that'll make me sick. This is why it's better. I don't want people to give up, but it is better for the hypocrite to acknowledge I'm not saved. Because then they have the opportunity and the door is open to come and get saved and embrace the experience of being a real Christian. But as long as I'm holding on to a name without the experience, I'm living a lie. I'm living a lie, and I'm never willing to examine myself whether I'm in the faith. So I would encourage us to examine ourselves in light of the Word of God. The Scripture says it's not wise to compare yourselves among yourselves, right? So if I start looking at someone, well, I think I'm more spiritual than she is, but I'm kind of not quite as spiritual as them, but overall, I think I'm average in the congregation spiritually. I'm kind of average. You ought to be setting the curve this morning. And by that, I mean, it's not wise to compare ourselves. But Lord, I want to follow you. I guess that's not setting the curve, because the curve comes from comparing ourselves. Bad analogy. The point was, let's do as good as we can do. Let's follow Christ. It's not about competition. This isn't about looking at one another and saying, well, I think I'm more spiritual, or, well, that's not what this is about, folks. We shouldn't, that causes self-righteous spirits too. The Lord doesn't want that. But let's look to where we came from. And let's have some quality control. If I'm not like Christ, then I don't want to be discouraged, but I want to say, Lord, would you help me? Well, I want you to work in my life because I want to be more like you. You remember the disciples over in Luke 9 that Jesus was with the disciples and they were going to go to a Samaritan's village, this village of the Samaritans, and the Samaritans didn't want him to come. We don't want Jesus to come. And it said that the disciples, it said James and John saw that, and this is what they asked the Lord. They said, Lord, wilt thou command fire to come down from heaven and consume them like Elijah did? Lord, they're rejecting you. Let's call down judgment. And this is what Jesus' response was. It said he rebuked them. And he said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy, but to save them. And then it says, and they went to another village. We cannot push our experience on anybody else. If someone doesn't want to live this way, it grieves me to see people walk away. But I want to tell you something. I'm not willing to compromise what this is all about to have the chapel full this morning. Because that's not what it's about. It's about being like Christ. It's about, Lord, I want to be in your image. And they were, but then they got this spirit that, Lord, you want us to call down fire. There were some quality control issues. Jesus said, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. That's not like me. Has anybody here ever done that? Something come out of your mouth and you knew it wasn't like Christ? Am I the only one that's done that? Do you know we have a choice at that point? Quality control. Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up. Will you forgive me, Lord? Lord, I want to be like you. But folks, quality companies have quality control. We need to have some quality control in where we go, in what we listen to, in our attitudes. Have you ever been talking and all of a sudden realized you were just sounding pretty critical? It's like, okay, I need to pull back here. I just kind of let things start. I started sounding a little too critical. The other day, I'll just confess, I was saying something at home. And I was talking about something, and all of a sudden, the Lord checked me. He's like, Michael, you're just being a little bit too, just being a little, the spirit of what you're saying here, you just need to back off a little bit. It wasn't about my family. You know what? We're going to have those times to recognize, okay, yes, that was me. I was being a little too critical, and the Lord wants us to, because that's not the spirit of Christ. So we're going to have quality control, folks. Are we becoming more like Christ? Have you examined the quality of your forgiveness lately? You know what Jesus did? He didn't go to that village. He's like, you know what? I don't want to cause a problem, and it seems like if I go, it's going to be a problem. I'm going to just go to another village. You know what? Sometimes the best thing you can do is walk away, folks. You don't hear that one very often, do you? No. Sometimes the best thing you can do with the Spirit of Christ is to say, you know what? If they don't want me there, I don't want to cause a problem. And so I'm going to walk away. That's quality control if it's done in the right spirit. Our love, our joy. What about our love and our joy? Have we examined quality control? How much joy do we have? We say we're Christians, but is it more than a name? Because we say, well, Christians are to be a joyous people. Do we believe that this morning? Okay, so is it just a name then? Or do we have the joy of the Lord? And if we don't have the joy of the Lord, don't let the devil beat you down about it. But let's just come back to the source and say, Lord, you know what? I am a Christian. I'm thankful for what I have. But Lord, I need some more joy in my life. I want to experience this more. so the brand, so the experience I have is more credible. Porsche. Y'all know what Porsche is, right? The car. This is what they say about Porsche. They are viewed, or they retain its image and reliability through the use of high-quality, unique materials. High-quality, unique materials. In other words, it's not like other cars. I've never even driven one, so I'm just going off of what they say. But it's not the same as everything else. And this is what they said. They're viewed as a luxury brand because Porsche provides owners of its vehicles, and I think you might be able to finish my sentence, not only with a product, but with an experience. If you get a Porsche, it's not just the product. We're going to give you an experience. Wouldn't that be neat to have a car like that? You might call me worldly, but it sure would be neat to drive one, wouldn't it? Have one? You know, the thing is here, it was an experience. How do you think the Lord wants us to be like Porsche? It has high quality product. And it'll give you it'll be an experience. Talking about experience, Coca-Cola, coming back to them, best branded soda in the world. They are recognized, and they've tied themselves with America. When you see Coca-Cola and other companies, it's always tied with positive experiences. Drink a Coca-Cola. And it's almost like if you drink a Coca-Cola, you'll have this wonderful experience. We know that's not true, but they've done a pretty good job of branding it that way. Good family relationship. Yep, someone's got a Coca-Cola in their hand. You know, beer's tried to do that too, and I know that one's a lie. But you can see the billboards. They're trying to make a brand. They're trying to make you think that if you do this, look at what the beer commercials do. See the billboards, and if you drink a beer, you're going to be the rugged, good-looking fellow with all the nice-looking women and a hot car beside it. It's not true. You know, that doesn't bring those things, but it's how they are branding it, trying to make you think if you buy our product, this is what you'll get. Well, that one's not true. We know that. But these brands are trying to sell something. Think about where we are as Christians. He that saith, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. If we say we're Christians, folks, it's more than a list of rules. It is an experience with Jesus Christ. So how are we walking this morning? Are we walking after the Spirit or are we walking after the flesh? If we want more than rules, we want quality, it's going to only come by having an experience as well. An experience with the Lord. And that's what changes things, folks. That's what we are following in the steps of Jesus. And I just want to challenge us in the Lord this morning. If we are Christians, it's more than a name, and it means that we are to be following in the steps of Jesus Christ. In our lives this week, could we not ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? I remember hearing some brothers and sisters, and I don't recommend it because normally this is done carnally. But when the brothers and sisters weren't getting along, one of them would start singing, what would Jesus do? You know, when they start talking and getting on to each other. That was used carnally. But is it not for us as a Christian to examine our life daily and say, is this what Jesus would do? Husbands and wives, how you talk and relate with one another, isn't this where it starts? It's more than a name. I'm a Christian. That ought to mean something. In families, on the job, when you're rubbing elbows with the world and they know that you have a profession to be a Christian, it ought to be more than a name. It ought to be that they can say, you're different. I always thought Christians were the same, but you're different. Yes, we're the Porsche quality. We go back to our roots like Coca-Cola. We've got quality control like BMW or whoever. We've got something that's higher than what the world has to offer. That's what it means when we say we are Christians. What about Nike? How can we leave Nike out of this? Nike. All right. Do you know what their mission is? You don't need to get on your phones and go to their website. I'll tell you. Comfort? Okay, that would be one, right? That would be one of them. This is what it says. To bring inspiration and innovation to every athlete in the world. And as a side note, if you have a body, you are an athlete. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to make everyone think you wear Nikes and you can shoot the basketball better, you can run faster, you can serve that tennis ball like you've always wanted to, because they will bring out that athleticism in you. And so then you all know the little coin phrase from Nike? What is it? Just do it. Do you know we know that, don't? Is there anyone here that didn't know that? Just do it. As Christians, what does that mean for us? What is our attitude and experience? Because see, Nike is selling a positive experience. When people get around us, are we selling them on a true positive experience? Or is it a story of defeat and I'm trying to make it and I'm just barely all the time? Yes, we have our struggles. But folks, the Lord wants us to be like Nike, that the world can look on and see that we have victory over the world. If we don't have victory, then what are we professing? If we're not living free from sin, I want to say this for your encouragement. Sometimes what we call struggles are not the struggles of the world. All right? I am not struggling to overcome alcohol, being a drunk. I'm not struggling. Now, I may struggle with the beer. That may be a temptation. But I'm not a drunk. I've been delivered. See what I'm saying? I've been delivered from lying. I don't tell lies. Now, I might be tempted to, but I don't tell lies because I have victory over it. So when we talk about our struggles, sometimes we need to come back to the basics and say, do we have victory? You have victory this morning? You have victory over sin? You have victory over lying? You have victory over adultery and fornication and drunkenness? You have victory over witchcraft? You have victory over that? It's like, yeah, I do, but I'm kind of struggling to have more joy. Claim your victory then. That you can go out and tell the world, just do it by the grace of God. I can do it and you can too. I hope you get the message this morning, because I don't want to send a signal to the world that being a Christian is just this struggle. I want to be able to send the positive message that we are experiencing in our life, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Positive expectations. Do you know the Lord wants our experience? It's more than a name. He wants it to inspire confidence in people. That's what Apple has done. Everyone knows what Apple is. And I'm not talking about the crunchy piece of fruit either. Apple products, and I have Android, but I'll tell you, Apple has done a magnificent job of branding their product. When we think of Apple, we think of a company of innovation. A company on the cutting edge. I mean, they're coming out, they have at least, and I know they're in a transition as a company right now. But in the past, they've been on the cutting edge of innovation. You'll get something that's smart and sleek and works well and creativity. And what they've done with their stores, Apple stores, and I don't go into them. When I think of Apple stores, I think of crowds. Maybe not like it used to be. But this is their philosophy behind their store. It's not just a retail outlet. We want you to come and we want to show you, not tell you. We want you to come in and have a positive experience that you can see for yourself, an experience that will instill confidence in you. Doesn't that sound like what the Bible teaches us as Christians? To something that is more than a name, but something that instills confidence? If you're struggling, you can come to the Lord. There's an experience. It's more than I go to church. That's important, but it's more than that. It's more than a name. It's an experience of quality. And the Lord wants us to show. Yes, we want to tell. But folks, if we tell and don't show, we just become one of those brands that people recognize it as a cheap, inferior product. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you tell them you go to the church of God. Is that what it says? Well, it says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have what? Love one to another. Show the world. show them. And in closing this morning, and I wanted to finish this morning, so we were moving through some of this pretty quickly. But in closing, I'd like to share one other scripture in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Was that their brand? You ignorant, unlearned fishermen. That's your brand. That's not what they knew. They were unlearned. They knew they were uneducated. Didn't mean they were ignorant, meant uneducated. It said they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know, that's what it really means to be a Christian. That people can look on our life and say, you know what? You're different. You've been with Jesus, haven't you? In spite of all of our personalities and backgrounds and different levels of education and IQ and jobs and family name, all of those things that the world could look on and that we could give new meaning to those in our sphere of what it means to be a Christian, because it's more than a name. It's more than a profession. To be a Christian is an experience. Amen.